Hello, everyone. This is M.R. Rangaswamy with Indie Aspera Radio. Today, I'm joined by performer Kamala Sankaram. She's a opera singer. She's been hailed as an impassioned soprano with blazing high note. Maybe we'll have her sing with us today. And she's been called strikingly original. She's performed and premiered pieces by famous people like Anthony Braxton, Beth Morrison, Philip Glass, and several others. She's now the frontwoman of the world music ensemble Bombay Rikki. In addition to her musical pursuits, Kamala is a voice actor, and she also has a PhD in cognitive psychology. So I'm welcoming here Dr. Kamala Sankaram. Hello, Kamala.
Hi. Hello. Thank you.
Yeah, have you been called doctor before?
Not too often, actually. It's a little secret.
Anyway, welcome to our show. You have an amazing background. I'm ready to jump in and find out more. So tell us about your early years. Where were you born? Where did you grow up? And how did you get here?
Well, I was born in Southern California. And I lived in Orange County when I was a small kid. But then my parents actually divorced when I was 7. So I grew up mostly in the San Diego area with my mom. And I came out to New York to go to college and just ended up staying here. I guess I connected with a lot of people. And I don't know, I sort of found my community here.
Fantastic. And so tell me a little bit about your parents. I know there's some Indian in you. So how did that happen? Can you tell us more?
Sure. So my dad moved here from Andhra I think it was 1976. Mm-hmm. He came to the U.S. to do his residency. He is a kidney specialist. He was in Ohio first, but it was too cold, so he moved to L.A. soon after that, and that's where he met my mom. And she's not Indian, actually. That side of the family comes from Scotland and from France, I think. One great-grandparent is from Scotland and the other is from France. Hmm. So growing up, it was sort of this interesting mix of my dad's side of the family, which was, of course, Southern Indian, and then my mom's side of the family, which wasn't.
Right. And so how challenging was it to be half Scottish, half Indian, straddling the two cultures as you were growing up?
Well, you know, as a little kid, you don't really realize that that's not something that's so common. But, you know, back when I was a kid, I mean, I think there are many more mixed-race couples now, and even back then there were, but I didn't know anyone who was mixed race when I was a little kid. And I think that it was a bit of a challenge, particularly after my parents got divorced, because my mom moved us to be nearer to our grandparents on her side in a very small town in Southern California. There was absolutely no one there who looked like us. There weren't even any Indian families there. There was one kid that I grew up with in elementary school who was Muslim, but that was about as close as we were. And so I think a large part of my childhood was feeling like I didn't really fit in anywhere, being between the two cultures, but then not having as much of a connection to the Indian side of my family until I got a little bit older. And I think that that's one reason why I've developed such an interest in trying to incorporate my Indian background into what I'm doing now is because of looking for the connection between the two parts of my heritage that I didn't have when I was a little kid.
Right. And so did you make any trips to India as a child or even later?
As a small child, I went fairly often. We went at least once a year, and I can remember going to visit my Nainama and Tata when I was, I think I was 4, and then again when I was 6. But then after my parents separated, I didn't go again until I was 17 years old. So there was a gap of about 10 years where I didn't see my family in India. But I really loved going when I was a kid. I remember playing with my cousins on the roof And just being able to go up on the roof and run around was something that we did not have in Southern California because the roofs there were not flat. So,
right.
Yeah, and then my cousin also was a very skilled tree climber. He could climb up to the top of the mango tree in the family backyard, and he would pick mangoes for us. And I also remember a place in the garden, there was a gate where everyone would break open pomegranates, and so it was stained with this huge purple stain.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so you must also have been, you know, inspired by the music you heard when you went there, both as a child and later on.
Oh, definitely. And also, it's something that I associate very strongly with my dad, because he always played Indian classical music in the house, and then when we were in the car with him. And so our visits with my dad and growing up in that house, I remember he played a lot of Carnatic saxophone music, and he would play the older Bollywood music, 60s and 70s Bollywood, like Ardy Burman in particular.
You bet, and I remember still fondly your Dum Maro Dum version at our Diaspora Forum recently.
Yes.
So I know, Kamala, you've been called an impassioned soprano, and we've heard you sing, like I said, at the forum. You have a very powerful voice. How did you get into becoming a singer as a career, as a profession, as something you wanted to do all your life?
I didn't think I was going to end up being a singer. When I was a little kid, I played piano, and I guess I started when I was 7 years old, and I was very serious about it for a while. I did competitions, and then when I got a little bit older, I played for a couple of the shows in elementary school, but I don't know. I guess eventually, I think it was a holiday concert where they had all of us kids. I think I was maybe 7 or 8 at the time. They had all of us sing Christmas carols, and I was the only one who could stay on pitch. Mm-hmm. So that was the beginning of the singing for me. It was mostly, I sang in choir in high school, and then I didn't really start pursuing classical music until I was about 17. And then when I came to New York, I started to become more serious about it. But when I was in high school, I actually thought I was going to become a Broadway star. So things have not turned out exactly like that.
And so how challenging or difficult has the journey been since you decided, okay, music was for you and you're going to be in New York?
Well, I think that music has its own inherent challenges as a career, and then it's not something that Indians typically do. So I'm the oldest of 3 girls, and so when I announced to my dad that I was not going to go to medical school and I was going to go to liberal arts college in New York so that I could study music, he was not thrilled.
Yeah.
But I think that over time, he's become more accepting of the idea. But at the beginning, it was very tough. It was very tough. I paid for school for the most part. I have a lot of student loan debt. And I often questioned my choice, but I think in the end, you have to be true to who you are, and if you are true to who you are, then eventually your parents will learn to become accepting of that.
Absolutely, and there's a lot of proof in your own life for that. So tell us a little bit. You've done projects with Beth Morrison, Philip Glass, etc. I mean, tell us a little bit about how you got involved in some of these projects and what that meant to you.
Sure. So when I graduated from my undergraduate college, which was Sarah Lawrence, several of my professors there were members of the Philip Glass Ensemble. And so some of my first work coming out of school was to do more of the new music as a performer. I toured with the Worcester Group for several years, and then I got to sing Einstein on the Beach at Carnegie Hall with Philip Glass. And these experiences were really, really important for me because it's sort of exposing you to this whole other world of people who are contemporary composers, you know. And I think when you're in school, you think about creators as people who are no longer living, who are no longer among us and that you can't actually talk to. So to be in the room with people like that who are not only creators but are creators of such stature and that you can actually have a conversation with them and ask them what they're thinking about, that's something that made a huge impression on me. And so then now that I'm creating my own work, it's something that I keep in mind, that I have this community of people that I can turn to, especially recently now that I've been working with Anthony Braxton on a couple of his operas. He is a very, very open and generous person, and I think he's also interested in community building. I guess just the sense that there is a community of people out there who are interested in creating new work and in continuing this this tradition of classical music.
So I know more recently you've gotten involved with Mukhtar Mai. Can you tell us a little bit more about that specifically and how you got involved and how you got into that very inspiring role and difficult role?
Sure. So that came out of my meeting Beth Morrison, who is a producer of new opera here in New York. And Beth and Annie Hyatt from Opera on Tap and Paola Prestini from Vision into Art, which are three different organizations, had come together to do this evening of new vocal music called the 21st Century Liederabend. They commissioned me to write a song cycle for the first one, and I was trying to think about what I might want to write about, and Beth suggested that I look at Mukhtar's story because she had just seen the Dateline episode about Mukhtar and she had seen a play about Mukhtar and she thought it might resonate with me. So I read Mukhtar's autobiography and it was so inspiring and just so moving that I said, yes, I want to make a song cycle about this. So I did, just based on the text from the autobiography. But, you know, it could only be 12 minutes long and it didn't really feel long enough to fully explore her story. And so I went back to Beth and I said, you know, I think this wants to be something longer, like a full-length opera. And she said, yes, I think you're right. And she introduced me to Susan Yankowitz, who is a playwright who had already written a monologue about Mukhtar that was included in this play called Seven, which is about seven female figures for women's rights. And this play has actually traveled around the world several times, and Meryl Streep has been in it, and the play itself is pretty well known. And so Susan and I met and decided, yes, we didn't hate each other, we could work together, and we started writing this opera based on Mukhtar. It premiered last January in the Prototype Festival here in New York. So that was January of 2014. And it was pretty amazing, the response that the piece got. We were covered on NPR, on Agence France Presse. We were interviewed by TV station, an Arabic TV station, and I've never seen anything like that I've been involved in, because it, you know, the problem with classical music in the U.S. is that it tends to be not so diverse as far as audiences go. And so what was really great was for us to have the South Asian community actually come out and become interested in something that there was really a hybrid of Western opera and Hindustani classical music.
Has that led to other opportunities for you?
For that piece, I know that Beth is actively trying to get it to tour. It's been a bit difficult, I think, because of the subject matter.
Right.
For me personally, I don't know. I mean, one can never really know which of the threads that you have pulled on is the one that has caused everything to sort of come together.
Well, terrific. Yeah. So, folks, don't go away. We're going to continue this fascinating conversation with Kamala Sankaram after this short break. Hello again. This is M.R. Rangaswamy with Indiaspora Radio. I'm talking to Kamala Sankaram, who is an amazing operatic singer, and we are here to talk about her Indian heritage. How did, Kamala, your Indian heritage influence your music today as you look back?
I think that I really can trace it to my grandfather. I think, as I mentioned before, I hadn't been to India for about 10 years. And so my first trip back as an adult, I was talking with my tata, and I mentioned to him that I had started studying Western singing, and he knew that I played piano from when I was a small kid, and he said he wanted to give me a sitar so that I could learn Indian music also, and so he did. He got me this instrument, and I brought it back to New York and started studying it, and I studied pretty seriously for almost 10 years. Somewhere along the way, I realized that I wasn't going to become Ravi Shankar, and that in order to, you know, Indian music is so, so immersive. You have to give everything to it in order to really, really become a master. And I knew that that wasn't really the path for me. So I began to start to think about other ways that I might incorporate it into what I was doing. And so I've started to try and use ragas and talas and all of that in the writing that I'm doing. So it's sort of, I guess it's fusion. I hate that word because it has so much baggage.
Right.
But yeah, I'm trying to borrow from Western music and from Indian music in order to create something that's new, that's different, that's still me, but borrows from both, which I guess is me, since I kind of borrow from both also.
That's fantastic. So you're now the front person for Bombay Ricky. What is Bombay Ricky, and how did you get connected, and what do you guys do?
Bombay Ricky is, it's named after a cocktail, which I think sums everything up, because a cocktail, as you know, is many different things that are put together that become something delicious. So that's what we're hoping for with the band. It started off kind of as an obsession of mine that I had heard this singer named Ema Sumac, who was popular in the 50s and 60s. And she had this operatic voice with this huge range. But then she was also Peruvian. And so she would sing in Quechua, and she would do these crazy operatic vocals over mambo tunes. And I really loved the combination of different elements. And so I wanted to do something that was similar. And I was working on my first show, called Miranda, and I talked to the Barry sax player Jeff Hudgens on the train one day, and I said, I want to do this project. Will you form this band with me? And he said, sure. So we brought in some other people, including Drew Fleming, who happens to be my boyfriend. So he had to be in the band anyway.
Yeah.
And then we started talking about the music that we loved, and we discovered that we all loved not only the Ema Sumac, but also we all had this love for 60s and 70s Bollywood and for spaghetti Western, and that what all of these kinds of music have in common is that it's sort of another culture looking at the music from somewhere else and interpreting it. And so we thought, well, maybe we will interpret how these other cultures have interpreted that music. And so it's become this sort of this freewheeling eclecticism, which is really, really fun to do, but also that it's all another way of exploring the Indian connection, because once you start playing this music, you start to realize how many commonalities there are between Indian music and, say, cumbia. you know, that the structures of the beats are very, very similar. And so it's not as strange as you might think it is. And it's just really, really wonderful to see how all of these different global elements really come back and relate to each other and all seem to come from the same place in a way.
So what would you say is in your career, your biggest success to date? Is it Mukhtar Mai? Is it Bombay Riki and some of the work you've done there?
Wow. I would like to think that I'm continually building on what I've done before. If you were going to answer that question as far as, you know, what is the most well-known thing that I've done, it would probably be the Mukhtar Mai opera thumbprint, simply because more people saw it. But then Bombay Riki also, you know, has gotten really, really great press and radio play. And so who knows where that's going to go. But I try not to think about my projects in terms of whether it has succeeded or not. I try to think of it as, is this building on what I've done before? Am I growing as a person and as an artist, or am I being too safe? In that sense, I think that everything is more successful than the previous piece because I'm continually trying to stretch what I'm doing.
So you also say you're a voice actor. Have you done something in that genre?
Yes. I'm not as active now as I was at one point, but I think the most well-known thing I've done is a cartoon on Adult Swim called Super Jail. It's not really a cartoon for children.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's about a maximum security prison, and there's a crazy warden, and all of the prisoners are crazy, and hijinks ensue.
So are you one of the prisoners in the show, or you're an outsider, or what?
You know, the most of the main characters in the show are men, so I come in and play a lot of the female characters. I think I'm a bunch of creepy bottles who are trying to tempt a guy back into drinking after he's gone sober. I'm the warden's inner child who's evil. There's one episode where there is a women's prison transport ship crashes into the men's prison, and so I play a bunch of female prisoners. So it depends on what episode it is.
Can you mimic something you've done from that series?
Sure. So when I was doing more voiceovers, I mostly did kids' voices. So let's see. I would do something more like this, where you try and sound like a little kid.
That's funny. On a personal note, Kamala, what do you do outside of your musical world?
Well, I love taking classes. I've been really, really busy, so I haven't been able to take any classes recently. But, like, I learned how to make shoes. I made a couple of pairs of shoes. I like knitting. I cook when I have time, or I make bread. Right now we have a garden, and I haven't actually managed to plant anything in it yet, but hopefully before the summer's over.
So what do you do to relax? Which one of these things makes you relax?
Oh, I love working in the garden. No. Last summer, I had 10 tomato plants, and we also had this, we keep a compost pile, and sometimes things grow out of the compost. So there were cantaloupes that started growing out of the compost, and it wasn't sunny enough, so they weren't going to really become huge cantaloupes. So I took them and I actually made pickle out of them, and it turned out really well.
Terrific. So let me ask you this. What is one thing about you that not too many people would know?
One thing about me.
Including your boyfriend.
Wow. That's a hard question to answer. Here's one thing. A long time ago, when I was a kid, I really wanted to be an astronaut. I had a star chart that was on my ceiling, and I would look up at it, and I memorized all the constellations. And I made a deal with my parents that if I got straight A's until sixth grade, when they start letting you into space camp, then I could go to space camp. And so that was my goal, is I was going to get straight A's, and then I was going to go to space camp. But then I discovered that I wouldn't be able to go to space camp because my eyesight is not good enough. And this is something that most people don't know about me, is that my left eye, when I was a kid, I had a lazy eye. And so I had to wear an eye patch in order to make the eye start working. And so it kind of does, but I can't really see out of it. So I couldn't go to space camp, and I can't really see out of my left eye. Those are two things.
But at least I'm glad you don't wear the pirate eye patch anymore.
Right.
So I want to conclude the show, but I want to put you on the spot. Is there one favorite tune of yours? And can you kind of, without shattering our electronics here, just close the show with something that is one of your favorite tunes?
Oh, sure. I mean, I'm in my office right now, so I might scare people. But here, I'll do a little bit.
Sure.
Okay.
Wow. On that note, Kamala, it was fantastic to talk to you. And
you too.
Hope to reconnect in the future.
Yes, thank you.
In Diaspora Radio is produced by Monica Patel. Our theme music is by our very own Rina Ismail. The interlude is by Jahan Shah. So long, everyone.